This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Side of the ANC that formed part of the GNU, like you rightfully said, are parties that had expressed their views vehemently around the need to ensure that there is a active trimming of the executive of the Republic of South Africa, especially believing that there's a certain redundancy toward deputy ministers and such. So now this is something that proves to be a challenge, but it can still work out, because ultimately, based on just how things have been structured in the statement of intent, which was of course described as phase one around this whole notion of the government of national unity, is that whatever it all works on a proportionality basis. So what we do know is that the DA is poised to receive nothing less than 5 appointments to the executive, and so it goes on. Ideally, from a numerical perspective, it's actually the knowledge of the fact that they are entitled as the Democratic Alliance to about half of whatever would be the allocation of ministerial positions or portfolios for the ANC. So, for example, if the ANC were to say or have 20, then by principle, then the DA would then receive 10, and then the next party that's part of it, which is the IFP, would then receive a lesser amount, and so on and so forth. So that's really how it would work. But it's very interesting, because what the DA seeks to be able to do, and I think this is where the conundrum lies, and certainly with the knowledge of the fact that the president also still faces a certain level of antagonism within his party, especially around, you know, the notion of having been a part of these negotiations to come into partnership in whichever way with the Democratic Alliance. They themselves are co-governors, if they will, as spoken by John Steenhuisen. But beyond that, they seek to also still have a certain level of accountability, a certain level of oversight that they want to be able to oversee and ensure actually does its work. So it will be very interesting, but I think what we can certainly look at, and I think the way in which it will probably even be analyzed, is you're likely to find spaces whereby whatever failures come from the GNU or this grand coalition would probably go in the direction of saying, okay, ANC, you're the ones who have done this. And certainly whatever would be successful and work will probably be attributed to the DA. But it's an interesting state of affairs, because also, just as another, understanding that they lost 70 parliamentary seats. You then come to realize that there's a lot of senior officials that did not make it back, some who, you know, in their defense were really doing pretty decent jobs, or appeared to be doing well, and others, you know, that were really trying. So there's also the weighing of the options of, in this space, who is it that I actively want to come and serve to be able to advance and kind of make sure that we keep these things on track. So, for example, we know Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Naledi Pandor, who was 86, I think number 86 on the national list. And so obviously she didn't make the cut, but we do know the provisions that are given of executive power to the president to bring whoever, in two ministers that are not members of parliament, which is what we saw, of course, with Minister of Electricity, Khosienso Ramokhopa. So there's those possibilities. So it's not just about weighing out which offices may be used and all those other things, but it's also weighing out who do you want to present for your party, the ANC, to be able to kind of, you know, put things on track. So Yeah.
And who moves things forward for you in terms of policies? Because then if you are then appointing someone into the Ministry of Health, for instance, and this is a person that was opposing to the NHI, it means this person won't actually champion that particular cause in a way that you would have wanted it to when it was signed into law. So a tough balancing act,
yes,
of how then we approach these portfolios and these positions in a way that then 5 years later we can come back and say, yeah, this person has made a tangible difference here.
Correct.
Looking at how then they've been positioned here. Matunjwa, you're calling us from Dundee. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the show.
Sharp,
man.
Good. KG, yes, I'm trying to analyze this thing here, GNU. I really don't get it, yes. What are we uniting, Gashigashila?
In terms of the government of national unity, you mean what are we uniting in terms of the unity part of it?
We unite what?
The unity part of this government, government of national unity. You're trying to understand the Dematunjo, what are we uniting?
What are we uniting? Because if they're saying that shoot it before election, we were not united. There was no unity. Because these people were united if they're trying to say it. Because they govern, in municipality, they govern all of them. You get AIST, you get EFF, you get ANC. In Western Cape, all these municipalities, they...
Because they have representation,
All of them, you understand? So I really don't understand this thing of unity. It's what?
How would you have liked it to be framed then, Dr. Matunjwa, as what, a coalition? A co-governance?
I think so. If it's Futhi, I know Futhi, all parties, these two organizations
are going into
It's not, this is not a unity. It's just a fallacy, this thing, a unity. And the bad part of it, the ANC. And the ANC, they must blame themselves, because these people, it's them who make people, some of them, to reject them because of water and electricity. Since when they was talking about this thing, especially here in KZN, people, they drinking rainwater. It's them. So now they try to come and decorate this thing of unity. These people, they want this DA because DA is number two, and they've got them. It's them and the DA.
But they haven't they haven't closed any door here, Matunjwa, in anyone's face to say we don't want you. We want you, because they even said on Friday going into Saturday that they are still open to talking to everybody, including the MK party. So we can't then say that it's not a picture of a united kind of approach in terms of forming a government, but then a partnership between the ANC and the DA, when they've said it to us, Matunjwa, that they're talking to everybody to come through and form a government here.
When I got there, this thing, all the time, it's happening after elections, because they can see, they say. And if you can go back, ANC took this government and they didn't have a plan. That is why we've got a lot of problems. Again, now, because they've got problems, they start to come with this thing of new government. If they were serious, they were supposed to sit down and plan this thing properly. I don't think other organizations, they will regret to come to this thing. This is a hijacking thing. They hijack this thing. On the wrong line, we're going to have a problem again. Understand? Because it looks like they just decide and do without planning. We're in this problem with ANC because they didn't plan.
But isn't it that all of these political parties, after the elections were pronounced, they all then, you know, took a position to say, this is how we're going to approach it. We saw the Democratic Alliance forming a team. We saw the IFP forming a team. The ANC formed a team in terms of how then all of these people are going to talk. The EFF as well, they were sending people to talk to everybody here. So that is, I guess, the plan in terms of how then you approach and move forward here, Matunju.
This is South Africa. Né? You can't just do this thing within 2 weeks. You call the plan that you're going to rule the South Africa for 5 years. That's a plan for 2 weeks. And after election, where is this thing of them in my moonshot, you know, that thing? And even that thing, it was maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks or something. If you want to govern South Africa, my brother, you must have a proper plan. This thing, maybe they were supposed to do it in 5 years, planning Ubuchi. If this thing come, we must do and put everybody, including us South Africans.
This is how a government of national unity is going to work.
Yes. This thing is not a two-year. This is a country, my brother. They're going to do the very same thing. But again,
I mean, going into the elections, no one would have anticipated that we would find ourselves here. Remember, we don't know how the elections are going to go. Hence, then, but, you know, all of these parties plan for eventualities as we see things happening.
But if we've got an intelligent political parties, they were supposed, if something happened, we must do 1, 2, 3.
It was there. Remember last year, Paul Mashatile was leading somewhat of a grouping in terms of how then they're working on a framework around coalitions. There was that moonshot pact, meaning that all of these political parties had taken into consideration the fact that at some point there has to be somewhat of a co-governance in terms of the lessons even learned from municipalities on how then we see some of these coalitions work. One can say that was preparing whoever then would go into that space nationally to know what they're getting themselves into, Matunju.
Well, you're trying to protect these people because they were supposed to have an effective dialogue and even include us.
Okay.
This is why these political parties, they don't want to go to this thing. Because, EFF, they don't want to work with DA. Mm. If it was proper, they were supposed to explain with, no, guys, we're going to do 1, 2, 3. It's going to go like 1, 2, 3. Then come and sit. Let's sit down and talk about this thing. It was not proper.
Yeah. Chloe, let me get your thoughts, Chloe, in terms of what Matunju is saying here. Matunju, I'm going to bring Chloe into the conversation as well so we can hear. Okay, Matunju is gone, but let me hear your thoughts in terms of what he's saying. Can we really say that things are done haphazardly? Could we have planned better? He's saying there should have been greater dialogue in terms of how then things move here, greater consultations. Do parties have that time looking at how then, you know, the results would fare and how things would move? What is your understanding? Because he doesn't even, Matunju, believe that this should be categorized as a government of national unity.
Look, and I think to that point, a number of people believe that, a number of people see that, and so it's very rare to be able to prove otherwise. But ultimately, when you consider the fact that this was an invite, right? Yeah. Could have gone either way. People could have rejected it all completely. Yeah. And as a result, then you find yourself with having to govern with a minority government or something along those lines, you know? So there's that. It is a little disingenuous, I think, to say that, yes, of course, this is something that you don't necessarily have to, do. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is the understanding of the fact that it's an invite, and it being that, you can't, it's like, you know, you're at home, you're preparing for guests to come, and some rock up, others don't. Because they didn't RSVP. It's And I think that's the thing, and perhaps that's what also makes it so scary for so many people, is that this is something that's based on consensus. It's based on goodwill. And, you know, for the most part, it's not something that we've often seen from our political parties or our political leaders, you know, especially toward one another. So when you're now asking or saying that this is how we must operate, it becomes difficult for people to understand. But also, when you consider, like I said, it's an invite, and the only reason the invite came is because of the fact that, let's be honest, before the 29th of May, everyone thought that they were going to get the opportunity to govern and they would win and whatever. And then everyone was met with a stark reality. Yes, you got the ANC under 50%, but they still came out with the lion's share of, you know, the vote, which means that they're still in the driving seat. So there was no time. What needed to happen, and I think it's important to understand that this thing, whatever you want to call it, is taking over the period of X amount of time, right?
Yeah.
And these are the following periods. After the declaration of results, where we saw that there wasn't anyone with an outright majority to govern, you've got 14 days to constitute parliament. After parliament constitutes and MPs are sworn in, and the same for legislatures, you've then got 5 days to ensure after that, as per the constitution.
So things are moving.
Yeah, things are moving. And so it's understandable to think and know that, oh, okay, yeah, maybe it seems haphazardly, but these are things that are taking place because you are met with other deadlines, and in the meeting of those deadlines, the country must move. So unless you now want people to now be found to be in contempt or anything of the sort, things had to move. And as a result of that, it might seem as though they were rushed. But in addition to that, we then have what has already been described, that the statement of intent, and that was the foundation to be able to say, that's a declaration to say, this is what we want to do, this is how we may follow it. But it was also just to get everyone through the door. That was literally vulamlomo, if you must, to be able to say, let's get through the door, let's support each other in these endeavors. I was actually thinking to myself the other day that Handle, anything could just go to the dogs now that parliament is has been opened and MPs have been sworn in, and literally anyone can renege on their participation because, well, we got over the finish line, we got to what we needed in terms of, we got the speaker, we got the president, and you know, anything could change. And I think that's more where the frustration could lie and should be. And in understanding that there's that possibility of changing, of change occurring at any point in time, it is scary because it really gives off that notion of elephants playing or elephants fighting, and we as the grass being the ones who are damaged and hurt. And so as a result thereof, you can't help but just wait with bated breath because none of this is over.
It's a tricky one, because also in the day that was, we saw President of the MK Party, Jacob Zuma, saying that this is not a government of national unity.
Yeah.
And we've heard as well a lot of people saying that it's somewhat of a grand coalition. Maybe it should be categorized as that. And it leaves you as the electorate, someone that voted, then confused as well in terms of where we find ourselves now, because then you would come through and say, but I didn't vote for a white president. I didn't vote for a speaker to be this and that. I didn't vote for, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, we find ourselves here because there has to be that consolidation. And this is what we saw even then, the ANC president saying when he was announcing that from their special NECs and NECs, they had decided that they are forming a government of national unity. He mentioned that dialogue, that going forward, there is a need for that dialogue to happen. that would kind of help us also reflect on where we find ourselves post the elections and how we move then as a country. So I guess he was also, he had that, those kind of considerations that Matunja was talking about in mind to say post where we find ourselves now with all of these developments, we'll need to then, you know, pause, reflect and have this dialogue where everyone else can chip in terms of how then things move here. Kenny, you're calling us from Pretoria. You want to help us in terms of this distinction between the GNU and the coalition. Welcome to the show.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much. In fact, I'm not necessarily helping you out. I was listening to Tony Leon yesterday, being interviewed by your colleague, Nkosi Khona Malingamis. I don't know if you guys listened to that interview. It is very clear that the definition is not even an issue to the DA. So according to them, it doesn't matter how you call it, whether it's a government of national unity or coalition or whatever. But according to Tony Leon, I wish you guys can play this and try to analyze what you are saying very slowly. According to Tony Leon, the DA are the masters here. They are the ones that are calling the tune. They met with the ANC. They gave them their terms. And one of the terms is that, and these are the red lines, the Umkhonto weSizwe cannot be part of the deal. EFF cannot be part of the deal. Now, that tells you that the ANC is in a corner. Either they had to go with the DA or go with the EFF MK. So they chose the first option, to go with the DA. So this is Tony Leon saying so. And he further goes on to say they are not so much interested in the positions. What they have done is they were very clever. They met with the DA, with the ANC, also including, you know, Enoch Godongwana as the finance minister. You know, to set the tone to say this will be acceptable terms for us, and so forth. So already that tells you that the DA are the ones that are in charge. If the NK comes in, they pull out. If Treasury doesn't do as they agreed, they pull out. So now this tells you who's in charge. So yeah, we are in a much bigger trouble here.
It's a tricky one. So it's they're not interested in what this minister, so Ministry of Finance or Ministry of whatnot.
No.
They just had conditions in terms of saying who we want to form or to be a player as the conditions. And it doesn't matter. We don't mind if John doesn't become the deputy president here. Ours would be just to ensure that our interests are intact in terms of not bringing that doomsday that they've always been talking about. So that's what they've been trying to avoid, Ken.
Exactly. So now they are really a step ahead.
So how do we define it? Do we go with what Matunja was saying here, that it's not a a GNU, it's a coalition some sort?
No, it's not. Because if it was a GNU, then the ANC could still persuade, you know, the DA and the others to say, no, let's accommodate the other guys. But because the DA has said this is our red line, if they come in, we go out. That tells you that the DA are the ones that are in charge. These guys have benefited more than everyone else, if we were to be honest about this whole thing.
Yeah, true. And if they're then saying that really when you look at it, these are how then things are going to move, it means that they basically benefit. Whoever then comes into a position, they have the greater power to say, no, we don't really want that one to be a minister of whatnot, because we are pulling out. So those pulling out conditions. And if the ANC is saying to us now, I mean, we had Nomvula Mokonyane even on the first seating that day, and she said, no, we are talking to everyone. Our SG is there. We are scattered across this center here. We are talking to everyone, even those parties in the morning that said they want an audience with us. We are talking to them. So she was just pulling a wool over our eyes here.
No, they are. They are critical because 10 million is there. I so wish that podcast can be replayed so that people can sort of analyze deeper on what Tony Leon is saying. So don't be surprised, even if they don't get as many seats in government. But I'm telling you, already they have put on some conditions regarding the budgetary direction that the new government is going to take. So
should we worry about policy, Kenny, or it doesn't matter?
No. They've already set the tone. COSATU and all of them, they've been admitted here. Whatever they come up with, if it's contrary to what the DA has agreed upon, then the DA will pull out. And one last thing before I go.
Mm.
He then said, this is not a legally enforceable arrangement. Now, that's a danger. Because at any point, they can pull out.
Yeah, because you can't even take them to court to say, so that draft, that resolution, that statement of intent is just a statement of intent. There's no legal, something that's binding here that can come through to say to you that, Kenny, but you said that, so you can't do that.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's a tricky one. But Kenny, thank you very much, man, for the call.
Thank you very much.
So Kenny calling us there from Pretoria. Mo as well saying here on X that it's a coalition. Stop calling it a GNU. It's a coalition. And we are really in confusing times here. Lucas, you're calling us from Pretoria. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Sure, man. How do we define it? Do we call it a GNU? Do we call it a coalition? Because Lerena is the media now will be blamed for perpetuating lies when we, too, are confused as to where we find ourselves now. Mo is saying here, Ari, it's a coalition. Stop calling it a GNU.
Okay. No, I'm not going to be adding more confusion.
Mm.
I'm going to try and explain.
Okay.
That we once had a government of national unity in South Africa. It's not a new thing.
Yeah.
You know. The government of national unity, our first government of national unity, it had an interim constitution. That was debated upon by all parties, and they agreed to put an interim constitution to draft, to give them time to draft a new constitution to be implemented as after the elections in 1994. Now we've got a government of national unity as called upon by the ruling party, the ANC, after failing to get an overwhelming majority like in 1994. Now they got 40%, but they're still leading because they've got more millions of South Africans who have voted them into power, but they only got 40%. Our people must understand that millions of people have voted ANC into power, and millions of people have voted DA into power.
Mm.
And the third, what is the next party? EFF. A voted EFF and PA, millions of people have voted for those people. And I understand it's only 16%, 16 million people who voted out of how many millions? South African.
Yeah, but okay. We find ourselves here, Lucas, and we saw the president installed. We are looking at a cabinet that will be constituted here, looking at all of these dynamics and how then there's a talk around this government of national unity and the consolidation of all of these efforts from these political parties. My question was, how do you then see it faring? Who goes into what portfolio? Does the president trim his cabinet to make it smaller? Or do we see him more or less accommodating all of these political parties as they had said that they are talking to everyone? How does he balance this one?
Okay. I don't know what the president is going to say. But if I were the president of South Africa now, I would trim my cabinet. Mm. I'll do away with the deputy ministers to start with. If I'm the president of South Africa now, I'll do away with the deputy ministers. Once I've got them all, then I'm going to look at the proportionality of the parties. Look which party has got more millions and start giving portfolios there. You know? Look at how many millions am I going to give a minister? Because this thing is going to be cascaded into the provinces as well. You don't have a problem. You know? You've got those guys who are working at the at national government. You've got those who are working at provincial level. And we've got those guys who are at the municipalities. Mm. We don't have a problem of leadership here.
So the trimmer the cabinet, the better. And then this will then help what? In making sure that the service is delivered on the ground.
Yes, we reduce the cost. Okay. You are the national government. By reducing the cabinet. Ne?
Yeah.
Once you reduce the cabinet by cutting those deputy ministers, they can go to the provinces. It's fine. Those people can go to the provinces. And then look at the provinces. They're going to cascade again. They're going to look at trimming the provinces as well. The cost there. Once they've cut the cost at the provinces, they go to the municipalities.
Yeah.
You must go to the municipalities during the day. Go and see how many people are full of in the offices. They are doing nothing. They've got their cell phones. They are chatting. All this. They must go to the municipalities as well and trim those staff at the municipalities. They must go to the actual work. On the ground, you know, they must do the sweeping of the streets. Most of those guys who are full there, the government is not an employment agency. Eh?
Yeah, no, I hear you, Lucas. Man, I have to move and give us an opportunity as well.
Thanks.
Sure, sure, man. Lucas calling us from Pretoria. He says the trimmer, the better. Tlhogi, he's alluding to even deputy ministers to say we need to cut those ones. Are these somewhat of considerations that will need to be taken going forward here? As we see the addition of even the Ministry of Electricity in the previous cabinet here, and just a lot that has been spoken about, even around the DGs, the DDGs. Mm-hmm. How do we see it balancing here, also looking at the fact that, like what Lucas had said, there it's a bloated kind of you know, stuffing when you look at how then things are going within this government.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, and the thing about it is this, and this is what's going to happen for the greatest amount of time. Everything's going to be compared to the GNU of 1994 to 1999. Mm. That government, you had a party that had an outright overwhelming majority, but they needed the invitation to come out to say to everyone who's got this, let us form this government of national unity, to be able to assist in the transition of power and all those other things. So that's one. But it's the balancing of expectation and reality. So, for example, the calls have long been around to say, let's trim these ministers' roles and let's just trim it, you know. But now, and this is where the power play comes in, it's about also ensuring that we understand that there's two types of power here that are available, especially as part and parcel of this agreement. There's administrative power, executive power. That's what the ANC sought. That's what they wanted. That's something that they received as a result of the bargaining that took place. But there's also legislative power, which forms part of the, you know, the three arms, or the three arms of our state, the judiciary, the legislature, as well as the, you know, the executive. So, on the basis of all those things, there must be a relationship that occurs, that works. But in doing so, you need to understand, what is it that you seek? If you seek executive power, that's all good and well. But executive power always has a check and balance, which is the legislative power. Legislative power is what a lot of people want, because that is what then drives, or certainly that's what some would want. That's what drives the agenda. That's what drives the ability for the National Assembly or any legislature really to have discussions around certain things. Yeah. And so we often think about it from a point of view that everyone just wants to have a minister or whatever, but there's portfolio committees that are part and parcel of this. And those portfolio committees have a massive role to play.
Oversight.
So now, where these committees now have different chairpersons, you now come to understand and know that, oh, okay, they can put someone to the sword and say, but you did not do this, that, and the other. So it's a balancing of equations to be able to say, yes, it's nice to have executive power, and, you know, but there's someone who wants the balance. And here's the other thing, right? It's difficult to, and I think this is where I may disagree, to say that they are the masters, because there's much for them to lose as well. If they dictated terms and they knew that it was the best possible way, because why? They wanted a taste of what the power would be. But ultimately, even in that own space, even in their own corridors, they did not do what needed to be done. So it was a compromise on their part as well. Because let's think about it. You're the official opposition party. It was not even your own work or doing that brought what was now the former ruling party to now get to this point. So they dropped, but you didn't increase. So you're fundamentally redundant. And I think that's the political expediency is what assisted the DA in getting to where they are right now. And that's what we're going to start seeing now, where the people value the expediency that comes, or do they value, you know, the ability to actually find themselves in
the member
space.
Of Parliament Gayton McKenzie tweeted earlier on to say, they laughed when I said I wanted to become an entrepreneur. Today I'm a millionaire. They laughed when I said that I want to start a political party. Today we're represented in all three levels of government. They laugh when I put my hand up for a minister's position. They have not learned. So it's kind of telling us that don't underestimate the man.
Yes.
Because he's making his intentions clear that he wants to be a minister of something.
Yes.
And underestimate him at your own accord. Oh, George, you're calling from Sekongwe. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, guy?
Sharp. How's it, George?
Sharp, Obian.
Oh, monato, man, monato. I think you're out of Braga. Because I put our weekend down to the Machita. Oh, I am. Have it.
This is how it is.
Yeah. Correct. What change challenge? Or why?
This is how it is, George.
Why?
Yeah, no, it's far more proud.
So, go on, eh? Yeah.
The youth of today must adopt the youth of 16 June 1976.
Yeah.
So, can I put this, the question of how they must adopt? They must fight, or they must get death penalties like those who hang, or they must get shot? I don't understand. we have to fight for to be free or what? Mm.
I guess you're fighting whatever you're faced with right now, in terms of whatever is keeping you awake at night. That's stressing you. Keeping you those sleepless nights. That is your battle right now. I guess kiki ona adopter, you know.
Yeah, we are confused because of since 1976 we've been like a motho ona ona le 48 years, ne? So modima that 48 years, but vale bana leng hona ba no ba fitheletse eng? Ke yona potso e le botsang ka mo studio ka mo hore where do we find ourselves? Re botsisa ka batho ba bana le 48 years or ka tseko bana le eng? And then hona ba no mo le rong hore they must promise another youth or no vote for us and then you will get what when that's the question because of wa bona youth ne ya 76 e lwele ntwa ya khapa madi go tshuluile madi a manchi thata gore re bolela ka bo Hector Peterson ka bo Mbuiso Makhubo re bolela ka bo Tsietsi re bolela ka bo Solomon Mahlangu ke batho ba le rong hore they were young, my brother. They were students. And then they died saying the people of the Republic of South Africa will be free one day. So where we find ourselves, I think, Hori, is not what we have been heard and what we've been told for global free. Wa itse ho ka re o lebella ngwana papa ne wa wa tshona le morena Jesu wa re tlohelang bana ba tle go nna wa itse bana ba tla go botsa diphiri gore o tla go botsa le gore le papa ja o be ya thunya ka tlasa sekhumelo se le sa pita ele ntse re ntse mo tafoleng ke motlo bonang gore crime dilo tse ntsi gore bo manager mo South Africa re sa le kgole le bo manager because of bana ba bua nnete nna ke phela le bana mmata gore ba bolela tse dingwe sa itse ro tlhapetswe ke eng a ne o bolela ona mo kere ke be ke makale ke re yano ke lefatshe la borona di tla ba le bana so hence re let's vote what about ba saleng ba banyanenyanenyanenyane ba ba bonang dihora tse di diragalang mo malapeng a bo bona cause of batho a ba fitlhele bana ba bo bona ba di via straight and bana ba lehe batswa ba ile di via straight ko bathong ko ntle ba o tshwana le borona and rena re botse mo gongwe wa itse ngwana ke ngwana a thabisitse ke se sa se mo thabisitseng o ne o bua puo kga ke mo tlo bonang gore okay crime ya borona e sa le kgole le gore re e fetse and number two le maphodisa a borona ga ka tloela go rata tsotso o amogela tsotso I think gore re tla fitlhelela mo re yang mo teng cause of e re ka lebelela go thoma ka yona nako e la bo 16 June go ya ko morago maphodisa a le na sena tsotso ne ba re he ba ya molao ba o beile and then go ya kae go ya thapong ya punishment eng go ya punishment eng so now gona bjanong we find ourselves mo e le rong gore we are confused we are beated gore mo e le rong gore ka tsela e le rong gore you can't understand the government e le gore e ka mogara matsoo a rona who do we fight we have to fight our own brothers black or white who we must supposed to fight and kanja
it's not yeah, it becomes tricky man
yeah so le na ke ra ke ipotsa di question tsa ngata gore he re salla rella ntse e le gore no is 48 years just imagine from 76 o fitla hona ga no ne ke na go nyana enyane ho le moholo maybe ho le mo aging ya rona o khona o lebella ro ke malobanyana mara yona e tsa maile but rena le eng hona ba nang re le batho ba bantsho re sa lwetsana ka bo sorona.
No, let's wait and see how things are going to go, Mona George, especially, you know, Youth Day gave us that opportunity to reflect in terms of how then, you know, things are right now. I can tell you, you know, for free that young people, you know, at crossroads, a lot of young people are going through the most. So that whole thing, where do you start? Even if you're saying that you are to carry on the fight and carry on the baton, sometimes you find that you are limited. There are all of those those limitations to you fighting, and you fight, you go to school and say, maybe I'll use that as a fighting tool. You graduate and you find that, you know, the odds are against you. So it's a tricky one in terms of how you fight. I mean, we've based our hopes now on this voting process. We find ourselves here. Let's hope that maybe the next 5 years would be a better 5 years for young people, looking at what comes out of these elections, George.
Yeah, please, my brother. Maybe we'll have free and then free education, free land, and then, maybe tomorrow or Slavelor or Sikhilate. Let's hope so, my brother. I didn't know sometimes can allow Horne, Gorkister Kananyana, Bracatle Hone. Gorkivakina nor okay, man. If Nkaira something stupid in Yana, Kefele, the Kilokotrongo, and then Moilurong, or maybe I'll prove myself or no, Ken Namang, what I'm doing, because of Okari, people, those who are going to prison, they are more fortunately and likely to get to be recognized than Motwaling Free Kamondi, on good summer brand. So, I wish to see myself. And then I'll prove myself because of Renzegadi skills more high. They don't care with those things. And we will not go in Mbabo. No, anyone who can do something, come up with something, and then we'll support you. People, they did no support. Heraka ona ba nombon heraka mo lefapeng la di arts and culture ka re re lebellane ntho e le rong hore ba recognize thata it's music it's music clothes and then what about the crafters what about the others ba le rong hore ba ira lotse le rong hore ke mmero kwa matsogo they're still not yet recognized that's our problem and then we're not mmero kwa matsogo we are not expecting the government to give us something. We expect the government to uplift us or no. At least prove yourself, guys. Do whatever you can. But we don't have power to stand up. We feel like we're still young, like a little baby. So it's a problem. It's a problem. That's where we find or batwarona ba feletsa ba yama bitleng le diskill. Government which job they promise all over job but which job because people they have job in their hands they have job in their mind but they don't support that
it's a tricky one I don't know George how are things going to fare thank you very much
no.
For the call
so
thanks, man. It's going there. I mean, as we wrap up our conversation now, maybe think about. I have Aus Monica that I'm gonna take now, but think about how this week is going to pan out. Looking at what the MK party said to us yesterday, around them still pushing ahead with them contesting the eligibility of these elections, that they were not free and fair. I see that the ATM party as well, they've indicated that they're joining in here. The ATM saying that they've also asked the courts to declare the elections not to be free and fair and to set them aside to order that the elections must be rerun in 90 days time, saying that the complaints are about the voters' role. So how do we see all of these developments playing out, looking at how the MK party even said to us in the day that was that they're willing to take it all the way to the international courts. Maybe you think about that. But Aus Monica, you're calling us from Mabetla. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just want to maybe agree with your guest when we talked about national unity in 1994. That was there for transition. Even though ANC had the majority, but it was for transition and maybe to help them or teach them how to govern. Alas, they couldn't learn how to govern. You know what they did. Another thing, it was for social cohesion. They failed. Racism, they failed. That's why today the government 2024 is there is so much remarks about about DA, and then it was also about honesty, transparency. This was supposed to be done under the reconstruction and development, not the RDP of the two rooms. Yeah? Generally, those things were supposed to usher in a just society. But we know that 30 years, it was just there and there. And that is why they find themselves into this 40-something percent, which according to the Constitution, no one won. It was just who got how much less than who or more than who. Didn't we? Obviously, it is the voice of the people. So this MU 2024 must be, I wonder, I'm hoping, I pray, that they have a vision for the voter, for the and for the minerals of the country, you know, its prosperity, to make sure that they take us some way further together doing that. So I had so many stories about why, you know, just thinking that, okay, maybe this DA decided to take the liberators because they are liberals. You know, and they just, you know, for us, you know, we couldn't afford to have traditionalist parties, irrational radicalism, you know, that was, you know, around the blocks, you know. I think South Africans, they're done with that. They are, though it has, people have this thing of if you feel as a black person, I have to protect you because the whites did it in the apartheid era. But in the true sense of it, we don't, I don't know whether it's South Africans or the people who are in power, we don't want to deal with racism. We don't want to deal with it, whether as white, as black people, especially if we had a government that had all the resources to do that. And with tribalism also. And let's see, I will really... you know, agree on how we should trim the government. But someone said this is the biggest candidate in the world.
Yeah.
And this country is very poor to have that people sitting and doing nothing and clapping hands, and we are paid millions about that. And we all know with your guest and you that it was, in most instances, it was for appeasing the factions. That's why they cut the infrastructure to something else, the environment and the water to something else. Because the comrades has to appease the other one on behalf of our tax. So in 2024, when the tripartite alliance, you know, unfortunately, they couldn't have a voice.
It's a tricky period for them. You know, it's a very tricky period for them. Yeah,
they are ANC. You know, they couldn't maintain their independence. So that's why it was just a waste of time to talk about that. So that is just, it was just bravado. You know, that has ended up in tears in this this whatever percentage that we have. And I think Cyril, if maybe he had to save his face and his legacy, he just has to tiptoe, you know, to be confident, a gentlemanly type, to work his part out with this 2024 national unity. To get all the files that they gathered dust, study train, study bullet train, and say, let's see the notes. What were you saying about this? Where can we start? You know, to do the things that they promised
us
you know, to do the things that they promise us to do. Because in that way, it will be this NGUM, whatever is working, and then my political party is doing something. Maybe those who fled to other political parties will come back when they see that at least the dustbin, you know, the streets are clean. There is no criminals, because criminals are no longer in the power that is supposed to you know.
Yeah.
Health is going, you know, how about digital vibes?
But who goes where, Osmonica, before we let you go, in terms of these positions? Who becomes the Minister of Police? Who becomes the Minister of Justice? This apex ministry. So how do you see it working in this government of national unity?
I don't know. Maybe your guest can enlighten me. Is it possible that we have a professional who is patriotic and who will do the work? For instance, what happened with the ministers without portfolio? Can we have three of them doing the work without really being a ticket of whatever political party? So even if they do, like Ahmad, I mean, Ahmad will never organize hashtag, you know, something, you know. I think it's one gentleman who will do the work,
yeah.
You know, who will do the work as a citizen, as a public servant, just to get those people in power. To really neutralize. Whether they will say Cyril, you know, betrayed them or whatever. I mean, they said that with Mandela. And one thing also that I want to highlight as I was listening to your speakers is that in 1994, everybody was worried about the white, the black in power, the black who are going to destroy the country, the black who cannot govern, and what happened. And, you know, others fled the country, others went, they immigrated to other countries. But now we have the traditionalists, racist blacks, if there is such a thing, who are saying, hey, now we are having these people are betraying us. So that is very interesting.
Yeah, let's just wait and see how it goes. But Galoba Osmonica, thank you very much for the call. Osmonica calling us there from Mapetla. We're out of time, and I see our guest is on standby, but I wanted to really then check in with you around how do you see all of these developments, you know, playing into the week? How do you see them playing into the future? I mean, here we are hearing of about 9 million MK votes that we are told were stolen here, and this is what they told us in the day that was, saying that they are approaching the courts. They're still pushing to really more or less prove the IEC wrong in declaring this election. So how do you see that playing out? Also looking at the fact that we have parliamentarians that have been sworn in here, and things are beginning to move. There will be that inauguration, and we'll see then a cabinet constituted. Do we see all of these developments then having an impact on where we find ourselves now?
No. I think for the most part, MKs, I don't think it would have a benefit. They know what they're trying to do, and certainly we would remember that even through the campaign trail, there was a consistent and constant delegitimizing of all these institutions that have served or that serve this country. And so, to that effect, I don't think it will have any plausibility, because fact of the matter is this. There's 18 political parties, including themselves, there's 18 political parties in the National Assembly. You and parties that somehow seemingly did not make it into any of the legislatures or National Assemblies, or the National Assembly rather, are the ones that are trying to, you know, affirm this notion of election rigging and such, and results, whereas every other political party has actively accepted that, you know. It gives a certain level of power hungry, it gives a certain level of sour grapes. So ultimately,
I don't think it would have any bearing in the slightest bit. I don't see it having any bearing at all. What we can anticipate perhaps is with the inauguration taking place on Wednesday, the possibility that as early or as late as next week, Sunday, or maybe Monday, we'll probably have a executive constituted, and I can anticipate that with all of that happening, there's probably already, even in this moment, dealings that are taking place to be able to allow for that. But of course, there's also to consider the fact that more parties are actively joining, and you know, things are being structured in a certain way all around. So only time will tell. But I don't see this, certainly the challenge around the results, I don't see it gaining any traction, because like we said earlier, the vehicle's moving, and so there's no time to
things are
back.
Moving so quick, Tlhogi, and we find ourselves here. Wednesday is just around the corner, and I mean, Monday, today's a public holiday, we're
exactly.
not counting this one
exactly.
But Tlhogi, thank you very much, man, for
thank
giving
you.
Us your time. I mean, we can go on and on and on, and I haven't Dr. Hendrik Gekana here. You're welcome to stay and tackle this one with us. We have him until top of two, but also just still reflecting on the politics and what we're seeing come out of this particular space. And Degagana, thank you very much for holding on for so long. Thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I promise to come back after the election. Remember when we spoke the last time, you said whether you get a seat or not, please, I want to hear from you.
Yes.
I shall not disappoint the listeners, because they gave us a hearing a few times before the elections. And therefore, happy to be back.
Yeah, no, thank you very much for giving us your time and honoring your word. It really means a lot, I'm sure, to our listeners as well, because it's now time to just reflect as well in terms of where we find ourselves following the elections. The voters have spoken, the electorates, in terms of where we find ourselves. There's still that contestation from some political parties that are saying that the elections were not free and fair, but we see a movement as well in terms of the constitution of these government of national unity, as it is spoken about, and also a move towards just the swearing in of members of parliament. We have a president now, a new speaker, and a new deputy speaker. Let's reflect with you, as big as a party, the elections that were. How were they according to you? And do you believe that really indeed we find ourselves here free and fairly, or you support the course that there is a need here to probe further in terms of how we got ourselves here?
I think as a matter of background for people who don't know who I am, my name is H.P. Kikan. I'm the president of the Basic Income Grant South Africa Political Party. We were competing only in Gauteng. We chose Gauteng province only to compete for elections, because we believed that as a beginner and a new entrant, it is better to participate in elections in the biggest stage in South Africa, you know, the largest voting population sits in Gauteng. So we were playing in Gauteng. We came number 25 out of 45 parties. So we were well away from the top six, top seven, because, you know, the seats get allocated to, you know, parties that would have made the top 10, depending on the numbers that they received. So as a new entrant in the political scene, and, you know, people voting for the first time for a party like ours, it was quite an exciting experience for all of us, all the leaders. And I'd like to thank all the leaders and supporters and, you know, officials of BGSA, to say that we just arrived. We started, actually, our party was launched on the 16th of June, 2022. So today is our second birthday.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.